Well, today we bring you coverage of the 10th annual canola conference going on in Enid. We're joined by U.S. Canola Association Assistant Director Dale Thornton, and it's definitely been interesting times for you last few years dealing with the farm bill. What can canola farmers look forward to in having this farm bill passed for them?
Well, canola growers and all growers will have a choice. They will have a better safety net as far as the, you know, either a price or a revenue program, and they have a choice for that. When the sign-up is finally put together later this fall or maybe even in January, the first thing that's going to happen is that landowners are going to have to determine if they want to reallocate base acres within their bases. To the current or the last 5 years of crops, I think it's 2008 through 2009 through 2012. It might be 4 years. I'm not trying, you know, there's various aspects of this. But, and then they'll have to decide if they want to update their yields. And it's a choice. And then once they have all of that done, then they have to choose between either their price loss coverage, which is like the old counter-cyclical program with higher target prices or higher reference prices, are a revenue program. And it's going to be different for each farm, each area of the country. And then once those bases are established, they will be paid not on what they plant, but on their base acres. So you can plant whatever mix you want, but you'll be paid on your historical base acres, except for the generic cotton acres or the generic acres, and in that, that's in this region, will be very important consideration because the old cotton base, there's several million acres of cotton that aren't being planted, but cotton has moved out of the commodity title, and so for those generic acres, whatever Let's say a farm had 300-400 acres of cotton base, but they're only planting 200-300 acres now. For those extra few hundred acres, whatever crop they plant on it that year, that is the that will be the coverage for that crop planted. So it is tied to those planting acres, and so that is an opportunity for wheat or for canola or for whatever in various parts of the country to be covered under this farm program. So it's a possibility here in Oklahoma and northern Texas for canola.
And by switching out maybe more acres, base acres into canola, you know, what is that going to mean to the industry?
Well, if you do have more acres, you have a more stable industry for processing, for seed, for, it does make a difference. You have to have a certain amount of acres to sustain an industry for seed production, et cetera. So the Southern Great Plains is reaching a point where it's becoming established. I mean, machinery has been bought. They've been had trial by fire more or less the last few years with this weather, these weather occurrences, the drought and freezes. And by and large, you know, it's a pretty resilient crop. There still appears to be a lot of interest in it, and I think it's here to stay.
One thing that we saw recently is the RMA announced that they are going to be expanding the amount of counties that will be covering crop insurance for canola. How significant was getting that announcement earlier this summer?
Pretty significant because it's you can apply for a written agreement, but if your county doesn't have it, but through if you're too late in applying or, if, you know, sometimes you just don't get that. It doesn't get approved. But if the county has a policy, you can just, you sign up and you have that, you know, you're covered. It was significant. And the other part is that, you know, for risk management, for the risk management agency to expand that to those seven counties, that's quite a few counties at one time. They have to have an offset in cost, a PAYGO. And so that was a sizable amount to expand in 1 year. And the reason that it was expanded is because there were so many written agreements requested in those counties that it became cost prohibitive and administratively very difficult to get all of them approved. And so a way to expand the crop insurance policies in the new counties is to have enough growers requesting a written agreement and getting it in place so that they all want to try to do that some more. And we expect that to happen over the next several years. More counties will be added if there's interest from the growers.
With kind of the situation in Washington, D.C., what are the major things that you're now following now that we've gotten the Farm Bill out of the way and some of those things? What do you look forward to between now and election season?
Well, they have 12 annual appropriation bills that they must do every year. They're supposed to be done by September 30th, which is the end of the fiscal year. They do not have any of those done. And we don't expect that any will get done. It looked like they were going to get them done, but I guess things somewhat fell apart. We will then have a continuing resolution, hopefully, that or a government shutdown on October 1st that will fund operations for the government, give them the authority to spend the money to operate, you know, the various agencies through probably mid-December. And then after the election, the lame duck Congress will have to get together and either pass fairly large omnibus or fairly smaller omnibus bills for the entire year. If there is a change in control of either House of Congress, then likely that would not happen. They would put another CR through till sometime in January, February, so the new chairman of the various committees could have their mark on the bill. But unfortunately, by the time that all gets done, you're going to be a fourth to a third of the way through the fiscal year, and then you're behind for getting your work done for the following year. And so it just seems like a never-ending pattern. I believe the last time all 12 appropriation bills were finished in time by September 30th was 1996. So that's quite an indictment on Congress not getting the work that they actually have to get done each year finished. It's pretty frustrating.
What is your top priority right now with dealing with legislation or regulations now in D.C.?
There's concern with the Clean Water Act regulations. All producers have concern with that and growers organizations. Another one is the labeling, the trend towards trying to pass state labeling laws for genetically modified organisms, GMOs. Normally, a label is what's reserved on the label is either nutritional facts or, you know, if you put a warning on for safety. There is no credible scientific evidence that there's a problem with genetically modified foods. And so the U.S. Canola Association and other crops, other organizations support legislation that is moving through, or that's been introduced in the House, that would preempt any state labels. It would put together parameters to determine what is GMO or what is not GMO, and offer that you could have a voluntary label on that if you want. And it would also require that FDA has to review all these traits. Right now, it's not a requirement, but, we want to get some certainty there. Let them review a trait to whether it's safe or not. And USDA, FDA, basically they have concurred that there is no significant difference or any difference at all as far as the safety of the food, whether it's conventional or whether it's genetically modified. It's just a different form of plant breeding.
Well, we appreciate the time today as we've been joined by U.S. Canola Association Assistant Director Dale Thorson as we kind of get some insight into some of the challenges going on right now in our nation's capital. Bringing you coverage on the 10th Annual Canola Conference in Enid. For the Radio Oklahoma Network, I'm Leslie Smith.